Father, we thank you for Heather. We thank you for all that she's done in preparation for this. Her time waiting on you, her time spending preparing. And Father, we thank you that you've given her a word in season. And we pray that it would come across and would leave us unchanged as you speak to us through her in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks. That's better. I can see you all now. This passage that I have to share with you today is very special because when we met as a teaching team, it just leapt out at me, and I was the first, I think, to volunteer. I'll do that piece. And not knowing what God actually had in store for me, there was a whole lot more than I thought. So today, we're continuing in the John series, and it is such an amazing, amazing gospel in the Bible to read and to study, and there's a richness in almost every chapter. There's some amazing nuggets to pull out. And so today is titled, Come and See. And it's part of our Just Jesus series. And I thought as a bit of an introduction, most of you, when you're making a decision about something you want to spend your money on, or somewhere you want to spend your time at, you will ask people who you trust and love and respect for their opinions. So for example, if you want to buy a new car, you'll talk to people you trust and respect about which brands in terms of servicing and repairs. If you're thinking of going on a holiday, you'll talk to people who you know have been to amazing places and what was that place like, and you'll weigh up all the options in your mind. If you're thinking of getting a good coffee in Hilton, you'll ask someone who you know loves coffee, you know, where can I get a really good cup here in Hilton? And you will trust their response because you love them or you know them. That if they say, oh, you know, Upper Millstone coffee is phenomenal, you'll go and get a coffee at Upper Millstone, probably. And when you walk into a department store and you say to the people who help, I can't think of their names right, and salespeople, you say, can you help me find a really nice leather jacket? They will take you to where the leather jackets are. And there's some value in people coming alongside and pointing you in the direction of something good or telling you about something good. So Upper Millstone really does great coffee and croissants. And I don't know if there's anyone here today who hasn't ever been. Is there anyone who's never been to Upper Millstone? Nick, have you been? No. Okay, well, you can take Cindy and have a date. Go and get some cappuccinos and croissants. I really want you to taste and see that it's good. And we're told in the Bible to taste and see that the Lord is good. And so today I hope that what I share about the Lord will be a little taste of his goodness, of how good he is. That you will, like it says on the screen, come and see with me what God is doing. So if we can go through the text. I know there are all types of learners. Some people don't learn by looking at words. So then just listen. In John 1 verse 35, it's quite a long piece. It's still verse 51. You can follow in your Bible or just look on the screen. Just some context. John the Baptist had just baptized Jesus. And that was an incredible experience and an amazing story, which was covered in the series already. So it says, the next day, John, that's John the Baptist, was there again with two of his disciples. And when he saw Jesus passing by, he said, look, the Lamb of God. When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, what do you want? And they said, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? I mean, I think if Jesus said to you, what do you want? I don't know what you'd say in response immediately. They're probably like, where are you staying? Is kind of like the first question that pops into their minds. Come, he replied, and you will see. So they went, and they saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 in the afternoon. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, we found the Messiah, that is the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and he said, you are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas, which when translated is Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, follow me. And Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, We found the one that Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote. Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nathanael's response was, Nazareth? Can anything good come from there? Nathanael asked. Come and see, said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. Nathanael asked, How do you know me? Jesus answered, I saw you while you were still under the fig tree, before Philip called you. Then Nathanael declared, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. And Jesus said, You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than that. And he then added, Very truly, I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. So there are so many encounters in this piece of text that get me so excited. So I thought for those who are visual learners, I have some pictures for you. So we'll start with all the different encounters. So in the first encounter, we have John the Baptist pointing two disciples, Andrew and an unnamed disciple, who they believe could have been the other John, the disciple John, pointing them to Jesus, saying, Jesus, the Lamb of God. In the second instance, we see those two disciples having a personal encounter with Jesus. They have then followed John's leading of go and see the Lamb of God. They then have an encounter with Jesus. That's number two. At number three, we see the impact of that encounter being that Andrew runs to the shore of the Sea of Galilee to call his brother Simon. Come and meet the Messiah, Jesus the Christ. You can see him pointing and saying, come, come quickly. And you can see in number four, Simon has his encounter with Jesus, where Jesus says, you will be Kephas, which means Peter. So he has his encounter with Jesus. They then are now following him. And in number five, you can see Jesus and the disciples have gone to Galilee, and Jesus has an encounter with Philip that changes Philip. And in number six, Philip can't keep this to himself. It's so good, like a really good thing you find. He's got to tell his friend Nathanael. So he rushes to call Nathanael to meet Jesus. And despite Nathanael's initial skepticism that anything good could come out of Nazareth, he encounters Jesus too, for himself, in a very real and personal way. And what I see here are so many come and sees. So many come and sees. And in each case, it's an encounter with Christ that impacts them and leads the next one to come and see, and the next one to come and see. And in each case, did Jesus disappoint them that they said, so that's Christ, and then they just go back to whatever they were doing? No, they were so changed by their encounter with the Lord that they followed him, and they left what they were doing in pursuit of following the Lord, and then brought others, come and see, come and see, come and see. And what's so life-changing for me about these encounters is that that's what the Lord wants to do with us. That's what he wants. He wants us to encounter him. He's like waiting for us to encounter him all the time. I read a beautiful thing. I think, Des, you may have posted it on Facebook recently about how Jesus wants to just be part of our everyday. He's like, the sort of visual image was of him sitting on our bed waiting for us just to wake up so he could say, good morning, I'm here, I want to share the day with you. And then as you get up and you go about your business, he's like wanting to be in the car with you, and he's wanting to sit with you in your meeting, and he's wanting to pray with you and be with you when you're praying for someone else. And he's just wanting to be with us. He wants us to encounter him continuously, so that our relationship with him comes so alive and becomes so real that we cannot wait to go to someone else and say, you are missing out. You have got to meet this man who's changed my life. And we have a whole community of, I don't know how many thousands of people living around us who Jesus is desperate to break into their lives, for them to encounter him. And it's up to us to be like all these people saying, come and see. Just come and see Jesus for who he is. But people are not going to know about this Jesus if we are not passionate about him from our own encounters with him. Are you having amazing encounters with the Lord? Because his word is just waiting every single day for you to open it and to discover who Jesus is. I mean, there are people who have actual audible voices telling them, I mean, Jesus' audible voice, the Lord's voice, telling them what to do. We have amazing stories of people coming and giving them scriptures that they've read in the morning, which confirm for them that the Lord has told them that scripture is for them. We've had complete strangers come and say to people, I really feel the Lord wants you to this and this and this. And they have followed because they know that they are seeking the Lord on this. And therefore, if someone would come and say, the Lord has really told me, that they would believe it and walk in it. So if you are desiring to encounter God in your everyday life, He will meet with you. He will. He will reveal Himself to you. He desires nothing less than relationship with us. And as we encounter Him, it will just be like some, I think Des prayed this morning in the morning prayer meeting, that we'll be drinking from the saucer because the cup is overflowing. That we'll just be rushing and desperately desiring to tell people to come and see Jesus for who He is. So that for me was just so powerful, that revelation of the come and see, come and see, come and see, each time encountering Jesus and sharing Him, encountering Him and sharing Him. And so I was really, for the past sort of 3 or 4 weeks, been asking the Lord, is this the only thing you want me to share with the church? Because I will, and I will share it passionately. And in the last 2-3 days, He's just given me a few other things just to throw in this, and they're quite special too. So I thought I would just share with you 4 points today. And the first is that Jesus sees you. He really sees you. And this is where I pressed into Him this week and said, Lord, if you see people, help me to bring them a word of encouragement that you see them. Because He really does see us. He sees you in your hurt. He sees you in your shame. He sees you in your joy and your celebration. He sees you. He sees you in your barrenness. He sees you in your lostness. He sees you in your confusion or your anger. He sees us. And Nathaniel had this encounter with the Lord in this passage of text where he realized that the Lord had seen him. Where in verse 48, he says, how do you know me? He's just met Jesus for the first time, and Jesus says things about Him that are true. And Jesus answered, I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you. How can the Son of Man have seen Him? Because He's God. God can see everything. He created everything. He's all present, all powerful. And Jesus really sees you. And He doesn't only see you now. You might think, well, He doesn't really understand because of, you know, my history. And no. In Psalm 139, verse 13, and says, you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Your eyes saw my unformed body. He even knew us before we were formed. This is how our God loves us so intensely, in that He has created us. He knew us. He knew what we would be before we were even here. His eyes see us. His eyes are on us. And it's such an intentional love that the Lord really sees us. He can understand. He knows and He sees. And so just to take encouragement, if whatever situation you're in, to really know that the Lord does see you. And He even knows what you're going to say before you say it. But you may as well say it anyway, because He wants to hear you say it. Because He wants relationship with you. He really does see you. And so what is our response to Him going to be? Well, this was the second point, is to really consider Him for ourselves. I don't know where everybody is in their own hearts, but to really just know that what Jesus wants is for us to have relationship with Him. He sees you in all your shame and all your sin, and yet He still wants relationship with you. He's loved us with an everlasting love. He really has. An everlasting we can't even comprehend, because we're not in heaven yet. In John 14, verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. We have to encounter Jesus. He's waiting for us to say yes to Him. In Mark 1:15, it says, the time has come. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. Our response should simply be, yes, I will consider you for myself. You are the one that I want relationship with. Because if we're encountering Jesus like that, He can now take us to the next step, which is where we start to confess Him for who He is. So the third point simply is to confess who the Lord is. And this is not just when I say the sinner's prayer and give my heart to Jesus, I will confess who he is. I will say that he is Lord. No, this is an everyday thing. This is confessing him for all that he is. So in this text that we read earlier, there are four very important and significant confessions of who the Lord is. The first is in verse 36. When John saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." That's the first confession of who Jesus is that we see. And when the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. The second confession of who Jesus is in verse 41. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We found the Messiah. We found the Messiah." So after having spent that afternoon with him, when Jesus said, "Come with me and I'll show you where I'm staying," just that short bit of time he spent with the Lord made him realize that this is the Messiah, the long-awaited Messiah. And he immediately confesses who that is, who Jesus is, to his brother. Then Philip found Nathanael and said, "We found the one that Moses wrote about in the law and whom the prophets also wrote. This is Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." There's a confession in Philip's heart of who the Lord is, an audible confession of who he is. And then Nathanael then also confesses who the Lord is. He says, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God, the King of Israel." All these confessions are powerful because they lead others to Christ. So there are so many ways in which our confessions of who the Lord is are important. On the next slide there, Simon, the first one is that it saves us when we confess who the Lord is. In Romans 10 verse 9 it says, "If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved." So there's a salvation that comes through confessing who the Lord is. We are saved by our confession of who he is. But it doesn't end there. All the time, how we confess, how much we confess and what we say about him and who he is and what he's done for us, that helps us to live victoriously. So the second verse is from Revelation 12:11. Another reason why we need to confess is that we overcome the devil and all his schemes by the blood of the Lamb, which is the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross, and by the word of our testimony. The word of our testimony. Who we say he is and what we say he has done for us. Our confession helps us live victoriously. We need to be confessing who the Lord is. We need to be in worship, even if you can't sing in tune. Just say the words. You're confessing who the Lord is. When you're praying, confess who he is. Our confession gives us victory over sin. Our confession gives us victory to rise above the circumstances that would pull us down. Confessing who the Lord is, the name of Jesus, and all that he's done, there is such power in that. And lastly, those memorial stones. Another reason to confess in front of our families and friends who Jesus is that those testimonies of who Jesus is are like memorial stones for our children and our children's children to pin their faith on and say, "Sure, I remember when my granny said that God had rescued her from that car accident miraculously." Doesn't that build faith in a generational way? Our memorial stones are the words that we say. They're the stories that we tell to our children and that they tell their children and ongoing. So the confession of who Jesus is a generational thing as well. It's not just to save us, not just to help us live victorious Christian lives, but for saving generations to come. Who we confess Jesus to be. And the very last point, the fourth point, is to come and see. To really come and see who Jesus is. Press in and ask him for encounters with him. Make time where you can spend time with him. If you see no time in your week, give that to the Lord and say, "You're really going to have to help me to find the time." And this last week was hectic. Doug's been away up on the border of Namibia. His mom's was in ICU up until Friday. So I was between school, back to school, hospital, whatever. We've all got busy lives. And I said, "Lord, I don't know when I'm going to find the time to finalize the sermon or to have my own time with you. Please help me to find a way." Well, sport was canceled because of the rain. And there were people offered to lift my children to various things. And God just opened time up for me to spend with him. So really, let's ask God, when it seems impossible, "Please, Lord, help me find the time to spend time with you, that I can encounter you and that we can see him." So this come and see is for ourselves, but it's to then say, "Okay, now I've put my shoes on, I'm ready. Who am I going to invite to come and see Jesus? Who am I going to tell about Jesus? And the invitation is there. Look, you can see the open hand. Come and see. And I know that today's preach is not on John 4, it's in John 1, but I have to share this beautiful story from John 4 of Jesus meeting with a Samaritan woman. For her, it was an interruption in her day. She was fetching water from the well. Jesus was there. He asked her for water, which she shouldn't have normally done in that culture because she was a Samaritan. But he did because he could see her. Jesus saw her for who she was and wanted an encounter with her. And as he met with her, as he shared with her, as he said all the things that he knew about her, that the man she was with wasn't her husband and she'd had several before, she realized who this man was. Realized that she was having an encounter with the Son of God, the Messiah. And verse 28, she forgot what she was even there for. It says, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, come, see. They're the same words again. Come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? That's what she says to the town. And I just, verse 30 gets me every time. It says, they came, they, not one person who happened to overhear, they came out of the town. So now other people have also left what they were doing. They came out of the town and made their way toward him because of one encounter. And this is what I am longing for in my heart, is that each one of us would encounter Jesus, and in our community, that we would go back to people and say, come and see this amazing man, Jesus, and all that he can do for you. And that they, our community, would come out of the town and make their way toward him. I just can't see anything better. There is no happier ending to a story than this. That she, through her own encounter with Jesus, drew the town to come and meet Jesus. Our come and see, we have no idea our come and see how powerful it is, our witness. And when we've spent time with the Lord, what it does in other people's lives. And how not just their life, but their family. And that family's witness to another family. And that family's generational witness. It's mind-blowing what can happen. It's like a pyramid scheme, but a good one. And there's really a strong invitation for us today to, yes, go deep with the Lord, but go wide. Take your experience with the Lord and invite others along to also see. So just in summary then, just 4 points. Jesus really sees you. He sees you. You need to believe that. You need to consider him seriously, not flippantly, like, yeah, I've prayed the sinner's prayer, I'm going to heaven. Tick that box and go back to normal life. No, consider him. Consider is a serious thing. Consider him for yourself. Confess who he is for all the reasons that I gave you. And then to invite others to come and see. So that we would really know Jesus and make him known in our community. So I thought just to close, I wanted to show you just 5 minutes of this beautiful passage from John, from the movie called The Gospel of John, where you actually see the encounters and you get a bit of a sense of what it was like at the time. Okay.
The next day, John was standing there again with two of his disciples, when he saw Jesus walking by.
There is the Lamb of God.
The two disciples heard him say this and went with Jesus. Jesus turned, saw them following him.
What are you looking for?
Where do you live?
Rabbi.
This word means teacher.
Come and see.
It was then about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, so they went with him and saw where he lived, and spent the rest of that day with him. One of them was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. At once he found his brother Simon.
We have found the Messiah.
This word means Christ. Then he took Simon to Jesus. Jesus looked at him.
Your name is Simon, son of John. But you will be called Cephas.
This is the same as Peter and means a rock. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip. And said to him, Philip was from Bethsaida, the town where Andrew and Peter lived. Philip found Nathanael.
We have found the one whom Moses wrote about in the book of the law, and whom the prophets also wrote about. He is Jesus, son of Joseph, from Nazareth.
Can anything good come from Nazareth?
Come and see.
When Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, he said about him, "Here is a real Israelite.
There is nothing false in him."
How do you know me?
I saw you when you were under the fig tree before Philip called you. I saw you when you were under the fig tree. You will see much greater things than this. I am telling you the truth. You will see heaven open and God's angels going up and coming down on the Son of Man.
So I hope that really has so much more meaning. Shall we pray? Lord Jesus, there's such power in understanding who you are and in living for you, in confessing who you are and in drawing others to you. We realize that this time on earth that we have is just a speck in the eternal scheme of things, and yet it counts, and we're significant and you see us. And so we want to make the most of the opportunities that you give us, Lord, to live for you. We want to be close to you. We want to encounter you. We know that you long for nothing more than to be in relationship with us. And so because of that intimacy that you desire with us, I pray that you'd really help us to find ways to make you part of every aspect of our lives, that our whole lives would be worship of you, not just songs we sing. And I pray then that out of those encounters with you, Jesus, that would come such a desire and a longing to see our town, our community, drawn to you. That our invitations to come and see, would be ones that people could not resist because they see the love we have for you. We thank you that it's not just up to us, though. This is not a striving. Your Spirit is at work, stirring hearts already. And because you're the Son of God, Lord Jesus, you can draw them to yourself. But you need us to be part of your plan. And so I pray that each one of us today would have such a sense of going deep with you and the importance to go deep with you and then to go wide with our witness and to draw others closer and closer into relationship with you through the words that we confess and the lives that we live. Please would you make this real for us, Lord. We haven't even begun to see the work that you can do in Hilton. And we thank you for Des's story today, that the best is yet to come. And we pray that as a word for our church, that the best is yet to come. We really ask you, Lord, that you would draw unbelievers into our church, that they would be saved, that we would stand here week by week enjoying and celebrating the thrill of people coming to know you, whole families, whole groups of people that we haven't yet reached for you, Lord. And so I pray that this would be just a taste. We're asked to taste and see that the Lord is good. This has just been a taste of what can come. And so I pray that it would take root and that we would water it and nourish it every day, that it would grow into an amazing tree of witness about you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.